We serve a living God. We serve the only God. I know there's a lot of chochos that like to call themselves God, but they just exactly that. They're chochos. Because the Bible tells us there's only one real God. And how many of you know that the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Our experience of God has changed, but God has not changed. The same God that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, the same God that parted the waters, the same God that healed leprosy, opened the eyes of the blind, spoke words, and things began to manifest, is alive today. Jesus once made a statement. You find it in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 8. And he said, "However, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" You know what? That's a very bold statement. When I return, will I find faith? Can I tell you why Jesus asked that question? Because when he walked the earth and he did signs, wonders, and miracles in the midst of people, there were people that would look at the sign, look at the wonder, look at the miracle, and still not believe. Now here's something that should be an eye-opener to us. If it is possible for somebody to see the eyes of the blind open, go home, and still doubt. If it is possible for somebody to see a paralytic or a cripple get up off of their sick bed, maybe for 18 years they hadn't walked. And if this happens in front of you and you see this happen, you see the family rejoice, you see that crippled person run around and praise God and glorify the Lord and go home and still say, you know what, to me that's a bunch of nonsense. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't do things like that. If it's possible for somebody to see it and go home in unbelief, then how is it going to be for people that don't see anything? And Jesus knew this. And therefore, he asks the question. He says, listen, yeah, guys, come on. If you find it so difficult to believe in the power of God, if you find it so difficult to believe in me as the healer, to believe in me as the redeemer, to believe in me as the deliverer, to believe in me as the savior, and you see the things that I do in your midst, what's going to happen to the next generation that don't see me? But I've got some good news for the next generation. Because Jesus also said, what I do, you can do. Everything I do, you can do. And even greater things. There are some people that will probably just never believe. I don't know how to explain it, but some people really have a problem with their hearts. The Pharisees were like that. You know, they were very seldom there to see what Jesus was doing so that they could glorify God. They came with a critical spirit. And our churches are full of people like that today. They can't wait to pick on some mistake. They can't wait to get upset about something that happened. You know what? I don't want to be funny, but if that's the only reason you come to church, you should stop coming and you should go home. Because people are always going to disappoint you and somebody's always going to make a mistake. But that's not what you should be focused on. You see, the Pharisees were not focusing on the blind eye that just opened. They were not focusing on the cripple that started walking. They didn't care about the multiplication of the bread and the fish. They simply cared that it didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. I want you to understand something. Nobody controls God. God is God. God is God. He does what he wants. Do you know what the word sovereign means? You know, the Bible refers to our God as a sovereign God. Does anybody have any idea what the word sovereign means? It means simply this: God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and he doesn't have to ask your permission. And if he wants to open the eyes of the blind by spitting in the oak's eye with mud and all sorts of stuff, then so be it. Then it's going to open that way. And sometimes God does things like that just to irritate religious spirits. Because religious spirits tend to think they know everything. And they like to complain and they like to fight and they like to argue. And it gets you nowhere. Jesus said that it's going to be difficult for people to have faith in the subsequent generations. But he never said it would be impossible. And I want to give you some good news. Just hold that Bible for me, please. I want to give you some good news. In Jesus' day, it wasn't everybody that had a bad attitude. It was just some people that chose to have a bad attitude. There were many people that praised God for the miracles that they saw. There were many people that glorified the Lord for the things that they experienced. And today it's going to be exactly the same. Jesus asked this question. He said, "When I return, will I find faith?" Let's take a couple of instances from Jesus' history. I shared with you last week the story of the woman that had the issue of blood. There was this woman in the book of Luke chapter 8. She had an issue of blood. In other words, I know this is like a weird thing to discuss, but her period never stopped. Now, for some of you, that might sound, well, okay, you know, you could probably still cope with it. You can probably still have a life. No, back in those days, you didn't, because when a woman was in that time of the month, she was deemed as unclean and she couldn't be touched. And if this happened day after day, week after week, year after year, month after month, this poor woman was labeled. Don't go near that one. She's unclean. You must understand one thing. She suffered. She suffered a lot. She was rejected by her family. She probably had no friends because they're not allowed to come near her because she's unclean. She felt bad about herself. She had no life. She probably had very little self-esteem. And she had no hope for this changing because you know what? There was no doctor that could cure her. It's not like she could go to Johnson & Johnson or somebody and get a little pill that would help her. She had to live with that. Which means that she had a dismal life. But then there came a day when she heard about a man who had the ability to heal the sick. And you know what? She made up her mind, I am not going to stop until I have met this man and I have received whatever he can give me. She chose to have faith. Do you know why she chose to have faith? Because of what she heard. Not necessarily because of what she saw, but because of what she heard. The reason I say that is because she was unclean. She wasn't allowed to be in the crowds. But she heard the people speak. And on the day that she got healed, she was disobeying the law because she forced her way into the crowd. She didn't give a hoot whether this Pharisee was going to report it to the rabbi or that one was going to kick up a stink at the next council meeting of the church or whatever. She didn't care because in her heart she had made up her mind, this person truly must be of God and he can help me. So she forced her way past all of those people. She had already made up her mind that I will have faith in this man. Let's face it, what did she have to lose? Probably nothing. She could simply just go back to the life that she was living, but there was this chance, there was this opportunity for her to meet a man that could change her life radically, drastically, and forever. And she must have fought to get through the crowds. Do you know that normally, when a teacher was teaching, the women weren't allowed to be around. They had to go somewhere else. That was a man's world. Most of the crowds that were around Jesus were men, not women. Women were not allowed to come that close. This woman didn't care about that either. She didn't give a hoot because in her heart she knew God wanted to do something for her. And she didn't care how many religious laws she had to break. She needed a miracle. And she was going to find one. And she forced her way. I don't know if she was big and I don't know if she was small, but my thinking is if she was bleeding that much, she was probably anemic. She was probably a tiny little thing. She was probably weak. Because she had no iron in her blood. I want to tell you something that might have taken her hours to just get to Jesus. You know, if you go and read from the book of Luke chapter 8, that the Bible says that the crowds nearly crushed Jesus. He was a man and he was strong. Remember, he used to be a carpenter. He was lugging around big logs and working with heavy machinery. Jesus was a strong man because he was a tradesman. This tiny little weak, anemic, suffering woman had to force her way through these crowds to get to this man. It could have killed her just to get to him. Do you know that? But she didn't care. And if she did die that day, she went out fighting. What a way to go. She didn't wallow in self-pity. She didn't go and lie down and say, oh me, oh my, I wish I would die. Everything's against me. Nobody cares about me. No, she made up her mind. She's going to fight for this. Did it take her an hour to get to him? Did it take her 2 hours? I don't know. It depends on how big was the crowd. But remember something. Jesus was a man that did supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. On occasions, he had to feed 5,000 people, men. That doesn't count the women and the children. How long would it take you to worm your way through a crowd of 5,000 people to get to the man in the middle, where nobody really wants to give you space because everybody wants to see what's going on? It's going to take you a long time. But suddenly, she was there. There was the man everybody was talking about. Perhaps she couldn't get to the front. Perhaps she lost all her strength in the struggle just to get to him. I don't know. But the fact is, she just barely managed to touch his cloak. But God had been watching from above. He saw this woman was a fighter. He saw she refused to give up. And he saw something in her that none of the other people that was in that crowd had. It's called faith. She would not back down. Amen. How many times do you think the devil spoke in her ear and said, listen, yeah, this can kill you. You have to stop this right now. Please just go home. Oh, you're going to be too weak. You're never going to make it. Everybody's against you. These men, they're going to report you next week. Come on, I'm telling you, I know how the devil operates. The moment you try and activate your faith, he does everything he can to try and stop you. That's why most Christians get nowhere, because they listen to the wrong voice. You shouldn't be listening to the one that says stop. You should be listening to the one that says go. What have you got to lose? Listen to me carefully. What have you got to lose? Nothing. And she kept pushing and pushing, and there she saw him. And the moment she touched his cloak, one little finger touched the cloak. That's all. She just touched him. But God had been watching her. And the more he saw, the more he was smiling. Because he said to himself, this one we can work with. Because she wants it. She's got faith. Immediately when she touched Jesus, he felt power come out of him. The Bible says he felt the power leave him. Without power, the supernatural can't manifest. And Jesus obviously knew when power was leaving him. Somehow he felt it. And you know what's amazing to me? She didn't even touch him. She didn't touch him on the forehead. She didn't touch his arm. She didn't touch his neck. She touched a piece of cloth. And the Bible says immediately she was healed. She felt in her body, I am healed. And she started praising God because she was healed. Okay, it didn't happen exactly like that. Jesus turned around and he said, who touched me? And she was like, ooh, what have I done now? The other disciples look at Jesus and they say, oh, they didn't use these exact words, but I think this is what they meant. Are you crazy? We just read in the earlier passage that Jesus was nearly crushed by the crowds. In other words, there was hundreds of people rubbing up and squashing into him. During that day, maybe 1,000 people touched him. But not one of those 1,000 got healed, except the one that pressed in. The one that wouldn't take no for an answer. The one that refused to listen to the voice of doubt speaking in her ear. The one that said, when the devil said, go home, you're going to die, then I'm dying doing something worthwhile. Amen. And she kept going and she kept going. So when Jesus asked the question again, she came forward and she said, it was me. He looked at her and he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Do you hear that? Jesus is the healer, my friend. And his healing is available to everybody. But not everybody wants to be healed. Some people just like to be along for the ride. Some people just have to see the view. Some people just want to be in the proximity. Some want to touch the fire. This woman wanted to touch the fire. And she was willing to give everything to get there. You know, today, we sometimes sit, this is real. Somebody wants to be prayed for. They live 2 kilometers from the church. You tell them to come to church on a Sunday. Oh, you know what, I'm very sick and I'm not feeling well. Please make a plan and come and pray for me. Would that have worked for this woman? Come on, let's just be very honest. If her attitude was when her family came and said to her, oh, you know, my dear, let's call her Annie. Let's say her brother or her father or her friend said, Annie, listen, yeah, you know what, please just get with it. You're a very sick person. You shouldn't be outside. And in any case, the rabbi isn't going to spend any time with you because you're a woman, and just accept your lot in life. It's not that bad, is it? Just back off and let things be the way they are. If she listened to them, would she be healed today? If she listened to them, would you be reading about her in the Bible? No. But the Bible says that Jesus called her a woman of great faith because she refused to listen to all of those things. She wanted to be healed. And she was healed. One touch was all it took. One touch was all it took. Today, a lot of people want everybody to move mountains for them, but they're not willing to move one muscle for God. I don't know about you, but that's wrong. God wants to see faith. Faith is going with an expectation, even though you don't know whether it's going to be or not. You don't care. You're still going. You make a plan, you get in your car, you go. You say, Lord, tonight I'm willing to trust you. Tonight I'm willing to believe. I want to read you a passage of scripture that links in with this one that we just read. Comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 17. One day, as Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. Now, the Bible tells us that people were sitting there that had come from everywhere over the whole area. That's like saying one day, let's bring the Bible up to date. One day there were people from Brakpan, there were people from Springs, there were people from Benoni, there were people from Boksburg, there were people from Roodepoort, there were people from the south, there were people from Randburg, there were people from everywhere. In other words, there was a lot of people sitting there. What was Jesus doing? He was doing what he was called to do. He was preaching the kingdom, the message of the kingdom of God. Thank you. That's nice. He was preaching the message of the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Look at your neighbor and say, God cares about people. And I want you to understand something. God cares about you. The power of God was available. Let's go back to the woman that got healed. If the power of God wasn't available for the sick to be healed, she could have touched and touched and touched till she was blue in the face. Nothing would have happened. Even on her day, the power of God was available to heal the sick. But quickly go back to the previous story. Just remind me, how many people got healed that day when the crowds nearly crushed Jesus? One. One out of thousands got healed. What was wrong with the rest? They didn't have faith. Their attitude was like, oh, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Well, that doesn't please God. What pleases God is, I'm not going home until I receive. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how long I have to wait. You know, there's some ladies here, they'll know exactly what I was talking about. Once I was preaching in Alberton, these people came to be prayed for. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, I can't tell him what to do and I can't tell him how to do it. He has to do what he has to do. I started praying for people. I started ministering to people. These people were sitting in the chairs. They didn't even come forward for prayer. They were sitting in the chairs. The next moment, this woman jumps up and she makes this big blow up, like what you call a real hissy fit. Starts freaking out there. Tells me I don't know what I'm doing and this and that. I can't even remember the whole story, but how dare I not pray for her and her family? They've come so far. They got in their car and they went home. I said, good riddance. Because God can't help you with that attitude. You know, people are crazy sometimes. You know, some of you are here and I'm probably not going to get to pray for you until about 11 o'clock tonight. Make peace with that. If that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be. Because if you show God a different attitude, guess what? You're going to get nothing from Him. This woman didn't care how long it took her to get to Jesus. She was willing to walk that road. But when she got to Him, she got the reward. Because the Bible calls that faith. Now, yeah, listen to this. One day, as He was teaching, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and those who had come from every village of Galilee, every village. Why did the people come? Because of what Jesus did. Wherever Jesus was, there was action. Things were happening. There was a sign here, a miracle there, a wonder there. Demons came screaming out of people, and the people were like, wow, we like this. But what Jesus came to do was not entertain people. He came to save the lost. He came to heal the sick. He came to cleanse the leper. He came to cast out demons. And too many people want to be spectators when the power of God is moving. And what God wants is participants, not spectators. Listen carefully. I want to ask you a question. But I don't want you to lie to me now. You have to be honest because you're in church. Amen? Now, I'm not going to ask who cheated on his wife. It's okay. You can stop running now. You can bring him back. Bring him. I'm only joking. Nobody ran away. How many of you would say that right now somewhere in your body is some problem that could do with the power of God touching you and healing you? Raise your hands. Come, just. Are you perfect? I'll cast that lying devil out of you. Okay, take a look around you. Everybody in this place has got their hands up. Some of you should be jumping up and down now showing God, I'm here, I'm here. Nobody wants to take that one. I'll do it. Amen. Now listen to me. If we have a crowd of people, yeah, and every single one of you has a need, on the day that Jesus walked down the street and the crowds were crushing against Him, every single one of those people had a need. But nobody wanted to come to receive. I think that's sad. I don't think that's the way things are supposed to be, because God cares about people and God has something for everybody. But it's like somebody standing there with a gift in their hands and I have it in front of him and he looks at it and it's like, I don't think so. Yeah, you would do that. But some other people don't. And the power of God was available for him to heal the sick. I've got some good news for you. The power of God is available tonight. Amen. To heal the sick. Verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Very important. God's power was already waiting. God's power was waiting for people whose hearts were open to receive and who came with an attitude of, I want it. Now, some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed, I tell you, get up, take your mat and walk. Go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Again, let me help you here. The power of God was present for him to heal the sick. There was such a big crowd, these people couldn't get close to Jesus. How many people were healed this day? One. How many people had a need that day? Everyone. But they didn't come with an expectation. They did not come with faith. In fact, the Bible already tells us that there was a lot of Pharisees there. And you know what? The Pharisees, when they came close to Jesus, they came with this critical spirit. Oh, we don't think this should be that way. And we don't think God operates this way. You know, that's why some people can never enter into the presence of God. Because they are so busy finding fault with everything they see. I'm going to say to you again, you are always going to find fault somewhere. But if that's where your focus is, don't expect anything from God, because he can't help you. When this man's friends brought him, they didn't care about Jesus' theology, and they didn't care about how he did this and how he did that and how he healed this one and how he healed that one. They came to receive from God. And the power of God was already available to heal the sick. And the moment this man was brought to Jesus, the power flowed and he was healed. I want to say something to you. The power of God is always available. But the people surrounding the power of God aren't always open to receiving it. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the way things are today versus the way things were in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, you could expect Jesus to walk down the street and open the eyes of the blind. You could expect him to walk on water. You could expect him to multiply bread. You could expect him to cast out demons. A man by the name of the Gadarene demoniac who had enough demons in him to kill 2,000 pigs was healed almost instantaneously. And people were talking about what Jesus did. People were excited. Listen to what happened after this man got healed. "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, went home praising God. Do you think that that man stopped praising God after 10 minutes? Do you think he stopped praising God after 20, after 30? I want to tell you something. Probably until the day he died, he was still praising God. Because he received something in his body that nobody can argue about. The Pharisees love to argue. "Oh, but this is not that way and this is not that." Listen to me. If I experience it in my body, you can argue with me as much as you want. I don't care. This is my testimony, not yours. And that's why God loves testimonies. And God loves praise. And you know, when people begin to experience the power of God, when they experience it with the right heart, it always leads to praise. Now I want to tell you something. God loves praise. God loves worship. God loves adoration. And I'm telling you now, God would love to heal a lot of people because it'll change the way the church operates. Today, when it's time for churches to worship, it's like everybody gets up and it sounds like a trek klavier. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like they're like, "Hello? Come on." I've been there. I want to tell you, if it freaks me out, I don't know what it does to God. But it's like, "Oh, okay, we have to praise now." It shouldn't be, "Okay, we have to praise now." It should be, "Guys, come on, we want to praise God. Let's get excited. Look at what God has done. Look at what, yeah, this testimony, that testimony." Everybody's excited. Everybody's freaking out. Man, come on. That's what God wants, isn't it? In fact, the Bible says that God, if he wants to, can tell the rocks, the stones, to praise him. And it would be a shameful day when God has to do that because mankind has forgotten how to praise. But it's easy to praise when you start experiencing the kingdom of God. This man praised God, and look at what it says here. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Why do you think the power of God is available? Because God wants to touch people's lives. Why? Because that will lead to praise. And that's what he wants from his people. God wants praise from his people. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Every time we praise God, every time we worship and we glorify God, the Bible says we build him a throne in our midst. God doesn't want us to see praise and worship as like a job, something we have to do. It must come from our hearts. The power of God is available for us to see that he's real, to feel his touch, to experience his grace and his mercy. Why? So that our hearts can open up and we can start praising him with thankful hearts. The problem today is the power of God is available, but nobody allows it to flow. Am I lying? No. People don't have an expectation anymore. Somebody is sick, it's like, pray for Mrs. Pochenpool. No, go and lay hands on Mrs. Pochenpool and pray all the devils out of her. Hello? But then the religious spirits get up and say, oh, well, but she doesn't have devils. Says who? When the Holy Spirit starts operating, strange things happen. Do you believe me? When the Holy Spirit starts moving, strange things happen. Now, just like the Pharisees, today the church has become very religious. The church thinks they know everything. They know when to start a meeting, when to stop a meeting, when to sing, when to this, when to that. But who consulted God on what he wants to do? Nobody. So we start at 10 and we're home by 11:30. Everybody's happy because now we can have Sunday roast. But God was standing there waiting for people to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered. But apparently it was more important for us to do it our way than for us to wait on God for him to do it his way. Jesus asked the question. He said, when I come back, will I still find faith? Right now, there's not a lot of faith. There's not a lot of opportunity for people to be prayed for. You can go to some of these mega big churches. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm not going to name any names. But you go to these huge big churches. They like to say, oh, we got 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 members. But you go see if anything happens in that church. No. Doesn't happen. Why? Because there's no faith. I'm really sorry, but there's no faith. The same sick people sit there day after day after day. The same alcoholic sits there day after day after day. The same woman beater sits there all the time. Nothing ever gets done to change it. Can I tell you why? Because the power of God is not there. Because there's no faith, there's no expectation. We are not supposed to be playing a religious game. We're supposed to be worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. When we worship him, his power comes down. When his power comes down, all hell breaks loose. But I'd rather have hell breaking loose and ducking out of my life than hanging around. I don't know about you. And God is waiting for a generation that is willing to be expectant the way the generation was that walked with Jesus on the earth. Every time you come into the presence of God, the power of God is available. You want proof? Yeah, it is. Listen here. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Every time Jesus healed somebody, it was because the power of God was present. But there's something that we have to talk about. The power of God was present every time. But most of the times, one or two people got healed out of the hundreds, if not the thousands, that was hanging around there. What was wrong with the other people? Their faith. They didn't have faith, or they came for the wrong reasons. If you just come to see what God does for others, you won't receive nothing for yourself. The Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. When Jesus walked into the bath of Bethesda, there was thousands of people lying there waiting for an angel to come and stir the water. How many sick people do you think was lying by that pool waiting for the water to be stirred? Every sick person, every blind, every cripple, every mute, because that was their one opportunity. For us, this is weird stuff, but these things happened. There was a pool that now and then an angel would come. And the angel would stir the water, and if you were the first one into the water, the anointing would touch you and heal you. That was the Old Testament. Even though it's written in the New Testament, it still falls under the Old Testament because it was before Christ was crucified. Now listen carefully. What was really happening there is angels are carriers of the anointing of God. Sometimes they can release the anointing into people. Sometimes they can release the anointing into a place like the water. Now and then God in His mercy would send down an angel. The angel would come and stir the water. And as the water was stirring, the anointing would be transferred into the water. And when you touch the water, the anointing would flow into you. What is anointing? Some of you might be saying, but Rian, what is anointing? Anointing is a supernatural power. It's like petrol to an engine. If you don't put petrol in your car, you have a lot of potential, but you can't do anything with it. You need something to make it work. It's exactly the same down here when it comes to the supernatural power of God. Something is needed to allow that power to flow. It's called anointing. Anointing is something that channels the power of God, allows it to touch people, allows it to go to where the sickness is or the demon is hiding, and it takes it out. So the angel would come down, the angel would stir the water, and the anointing that God allowed to come would touch the water. The anointing of God is not for inanimate objects. The anointing of God is always for a man or a woman or somebody. But it can be transferred through an object. Like Jesus' cloak, the woman didn't touch His flesh, she touched the cloak. But the cloak was permeated with anointing. So when she touched it, the anointing jumped into her and she got healed. Back then, one person would be healed because there was just enough anointing to heal one person. And then they would all wait for the next time. The person that got healed that day, I think it was like 18 years or something, or 20 years, that he'd been lying there waiting to be healed. Jesus walked up to this man and he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Also a strange question, isn't it? But some people like their problems. They like it when people feel sorry for them. They like to use it as an excuse. They use their sickness as a crutch. I'm sorry, but it's true. Oh, I'm late because, you know, today and I wasn't well. If you like it, it will stay. Jesus asked him a question, a very fair question. Do you like feeling this way or do you want it to go? No, I want to be healed. Then get up, take your mat and go. The man walked out of there, healed. Now, I've heard people say, oh, you know, it would be wonderful if God would do that again today. Why? So that one person out of 1,000 can get healed? I don't think so. We live in the New Testament. We don't need an angel to come down and touch the water to be healed. I shared with you the other day, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. Touch the person next to you. If it's a woman, be careful where you touch. Touch again. Say, the kingdom of God is within you. Can somebody get excited? The kingdom of God is within you. So you know what? If you are waiting for God to send an angel to go and stir some water, you are being stupid because God could come and stir you. And you can touch the sick and the sick can be healed. Amen? The anointing is available to all of us now. Because when Jesus died, He opened the way for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to no longer just work through Him, but it could now work through all of us. Didn't He say we will do what He did and even greater things? But the thing is, we have to have faith in that. And that's something that the church doesn't have anymore. Many of you come from church backgrounds where you can't argue with me. It's documented. Your church doesn't believe in miracles anymore. They tell you that it's from the old Bible. It happened 2,000 years ago. It was just so that the church could get going. Where did they get that stuff? Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say that in the Bible. But they have to say that because they have to somehow justify why it's not happening with them. Can I tell you why it doesn't happen with them? Because they got no faith. When people don't have faith, it's like, oh, but it doesn't work anymore. No, it does. Deal with your heart, get rid of your unbelief, get rid of your doubt, and see what God will do. Almost every place in the Bible where Jesus healed an individual, it was because of what he said, your faith has made you whole. We have spoken about this in passing, but there was a passage of scripture where a woman comes to Jesus. She's not a Jew, she's a Gentile. She's called the Syrophoenician woman. She comes to Jesus and she says to the Lord, Lord, please have mercy on my daughter because she's got this demon that destroys her life. He throws her in the fire and he does all sorts of things to her and she has this miserable life. Please have mercy on her and please heal her. She wants healing. Jesus gives her a very strange answer. He says, woman, I can't do nothing for you because healing is the children's bread. In other words, healing is available, but it's available to certain people. The woman says, well, Lord, if that's your analogy, Jesus said, it's not available to the dogs. It's available to the children. She said, okay, if I'm a dog, I accept that. Yes, I understand I'm not a Jew and I'm not on the same level as you guys. But the dog can sit at the table and he can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. So give me a crumb. That's all I want. Give me a crumb. And of course, Jesus loved that attitude. Just like God loved the woman that kept pressing in, pushing big men apart so that she could touch his cloak. This woman would not take no for an answer. She came to receive something. Jesus looked at her and he said, woman, even amongst my own people, I have not seen such great faith. Go. It will be as you have asked. And the Bible says from that moment, the demon left her daughter. And the amazing thing is the daughter wasn't even there. The daughter had no faith. The mother had faith. But because of the mother's faith, the daughter was instantly healed and the demon had to leave that girl. I don't know about you, but it's time for us to have faith. Because with faith, Jesus said, you will move mountains. Here's the reality. Just because God does signs, wonders, and miracles, it's not a guarantee that you are going to have faith in it. But I want to tell you something. It's a lot easier to have faith when you see the power of God than when you don't. So when you do see the power of God, and the devil comes and he wants to mess with your mind, and he says, ah, this is rubbish, this is ridiculous, ah, this can't be, ah, God will never do that, you better put him in his place and send him packing. Because all he's trying to do is rob you of your faith. And you're going to hear that voice. There's a couple of demons that love to go to church. You want me to tell you who they are? Doubt and unbelief. Doubt can't mess with an unbeliever. They don't believe anyway. Unbelief doesn't touch an unbeliever. He doesn't believe anyway. They touch believers. And they love to sit in the church, and while the pastor is preaching a sermon, it's like, that's not true. It used to be that way, but it's not this way anymore. I know it doesn't mean that way. You shouldn't see it that way. I know they're taking it out of context. They like to talk. They speak in your ear while somebody's preaching. And by the time you leave, you're listening more to that chocho than you're listening to the word. Who's the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When the word of God is preached, God rocks up. When God rocks up, his power is there to touch people. The devil can't stop God from coming, but he can stop you from receiving. He stops you with doubt and unbelief. God comes and he touches somebody and you see somebody get healed. Immediately a voice speaks to you, that was a special circumstance. There's nothing special. Yeah, it is special, yes. But the power of God is available to everybody. Listen, yeah, Jesus is the healer. He's the healer of the Jews, he's the healer of the Gentiles, he's the healer of the Afrikaner, he's the healer of the Mexican, he's the healer of the Venezuelan, the Brazilian, the Portuguese.
Amen.
Amen. Men and women.
Amen.
And children. But when the power of God begins to move, something comes and chiri-chiris in your ear. Oh, this is not for you. Oh, it's not that way. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago can be done today. If we believe, if we have faith. So I want to say this to you. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? What do you say? What do you say? I didn't hear you. They didn't hear you.
Yes.
Ah. You must smoke less, then you can talk louder. When Jesus comes today, will he find faith?
Yes.
I like that. And you smoke. Yes, he will. Can I tell you why? Because we choose to have faith. Because we choose not to listen to that voice that says, oh, but this is impossible. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, that'll never work. And you see, when you show God that attitude, then God can start working in your midst. You know, there's that passage of scripture where Jesus went to his hometown. And when the people saw him, even though they had heard all the same testimonies as everybody else, they'd heard how the blind eyes open, they'd heard how the deaf ears hear, they'd heard it all. When Jesus walked in there, they took one look at him and they said, you're just a carpenter. And the Bible says he could do no miracles in that place because they had no faith. Today, the church, many churches are exactly the same. They have been taught for decades, for generations, that there's no more such thing as healing, that miracles don't exist, that demons are a myth, and that the devil is a clown. And because we believe these things, we have no power. And the power of God is not available to us. And let me ask you something. How many things are there in your life right now that you can't change? Come on. How many things are there in your life right now that there's nothing you can really do to change it now? Whether it is sickness or a mental state that you're in or financial burdens upon your life or, you know, I don't care. Something in your marriage. So would you agree with me then that you need, in a lot of areas of your life, you need a supernatural breakthrough? Oh, yes, we do, don't we? And where are we going to get that from? From God, but we have to believe. The Bible says all things are possible if you believe. I know you've heard me share this story before, but I want to share it again today. Many years ago, a woman came to me for prayer. She had epilepsy. I listened to her story. She had a lot of problems. She was an introvert. She had no self. She was very self-conscious. She was very shy. She couldn't speak in front of people. She had a wonderful singing talent, a gift that God had given her, but she couldn't sing in front of people. She couldn't speak in front of people. She had epilepsy. There was a couple of things. I listened to everything, and I said to her in the end, okay, we have to pray about this. I started praying for her, and guess what? A demon started screaming out of her. The demon left. Another demon started screaming out of her. I cast it out. The demon left. Another demon screamed out of her. I cast it out. The demon left. How many demons that left that day? I can't remember. 5, 6, 7, 10, something like that. She went home a different person. She joined the church worship team. Within a couple of weeks, she was the main lead vocalist. Everybody in the church was commenting about the change in her life, but nobody as much as her husband. So the husband, after what happened to the wife, makes an appointment, comes to see me. I ask him, what is it about? No, well, he saw the change in his wife, and he's yeah for prayer because he also wants that. I say, no good. We talk a little bit, and as we're talking, I can see that his wife obviously neglected to tell him that the demons left her. Probably in that house, you don't discuss things like that, you know? So I felt that I should enlighten him. And I said to him, did your wife tell you what happened the day we prayed? Yes, yes, she got healed. I said, yes, she did get healed, but did she tell you how she got healed? All right, tell me. I said, the Lord delivered your wife of the following demons. He looked at me, he said, you must be crazy. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I lived with her for many years. She didn't have no devils. What? He says, and besides, there's no such thing as demons. I said to him, what Bible do you read? No, he reads the Afrikaans, this, that, that. I said, okay, sit right there. I went to fetch the exact same Bible that he reads. I opened it up at a couple of passages. I showed him what Jesus did and how Jesus healed people. You know what? The man kept quiet. After about 20 minutes of me showing him scripture after scripture after scripture, I said to him, what do you have to say about that? He says, I've read the Bible 5-6 times through. I've never seen those passages. I said, no, you saw them, but they didn't fit in with your view of God. So you were like, skip, 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 skip. Or in your mind, that was then and this is now. That's got nothing to do with it. If it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible. And you know what? That man that day repented because he never believed. I think a lot of us have to come to a place that we were willing to repent before God because we did not believe. You know, just like that man would read the Bible with a pinch of salt, so today many believers read the Bible the same way. Either they don't really believe what they see, or they're like, it was then. Because some bishop or some pastor or some preacher or some priest or whatever told you it's not like that. Who should you believe? Somebody speaking about God or God himself? Let me teach you something. You always believe God. You go back to the Bible and you check, is that the way it is? The devil is a deceiver. If he can deceive you from the pulpit, he will. The Bible says there will come a time when people will come and stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and do signs, wonders, and miracles? And God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Hello? How do you know whether what I'm saying is right or wrong? Check the Bible. If it's not in the Word, it's a lie. If it's not in the Word, it's a deceit. But if it's in the Word, you better receive it. Because man will not live from bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Tonight, if the Lord is giving you something to eat, probably your body, your soul, and your spirit needs it. You better take it and you better eat it. You can choose to lay it down and say, oh, this is not for me. I can't force you. Nobody can force you. But if you do that, you will miss out in a very big way. I want to take you back to this, and then I'm finishing. Verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present that day for healing. If the power of God is present for healing, the power of God is present for miracles, and the power of God is present for deliverance. Because God wants to set the captives free. What did Jesus say? I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the same way that he had mercy on that paralytic, he wants to have mercy on you today. In the same way that he had mercy on the man that couldn't speak, he wants to have mercy on you today. Jesus is Yah. The power of God is Yah. The question is, do you want it? Are you Yah to receive it? Or are you Yah to sit and warm the pew, go home and talk about the interesting things that you saw? When it comes to the river of God, some likes to watch the others play in the river. That's not the purpose of the river. The river is there for you. In the river, you get healing. In the river, the miracle is released. In the river, the power of darkness is defeated. But you've got to jump in that river. Who's the river? The Holy Spirit. And sometimes the river runs so quick that it's chaos. But I want to say this to you. What we see as chaos, God sees as wonderful. And sometimes what we see as order, God says, what the heck are you doing? There's nothing. There's no faith. There's no anointing. There's no power. There's no nothing. That scripture said the power of God was available. Is the power of God available tonight? I believe it is. I believe it is. Come stand here. Come stand there, you. The one that's going to stop smoking tonight so that he can speak loud. Here's a question. Is the power of God available? Is God the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever? If Jesus was here, what would he do? I can't say, but I can tell you something. It would be supernatural. Come on. It would be supernatural. You want to know how Jesus operated? He preached a good message. He opened the people's hearts through the word. And then he allowed the power of God to come into them by the ministry. And that's how the New Testament church is supposed to operate. You don't come to church to hear a good message and have kukuntia. Anybody ever got healed through kukuntia? Just wave at me. Yeah, if you don't understand Afrikaans, tea and cake. How many demons have left you when you had a good cup of tea? Then I would get delivered every morning. You know? Is the power of God present? Of course the power of God is present. Did Jesus, give me that thing. Let's go to that woman. What did she touch? And what was the cloak touching when she touched it? So we said anointing can be transferred. When the angel touched the water received the anointing that the angel brought down. And when you touched it, something happened. Some of you think this is a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. I've touched this. If there's going to be anything happening here tonight, because the power of God is here. And it'll touch me first, before it'll touch any of you. Just like it had to touch Jesus first before it touched anybody else. So if there's power and anointing on this, then we're going to see it. Take it. Give me back that thing. Quick, 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 quick. Take it. Give me that thing. Quick, quick, quick. Take it. Take it. You want to mess with me? Come. You, what are you laughing at? Come here. Do you want it? You can have it. Okay, what's busy happening to them now? Ooh, I don't know. I'm not God. But right now the anointing is touching them. Something is happening. And they must have an expectation. I can guarantee you every person lying on this floor right now, they have some need in their life. The woman that followed Jesus, she followed him for a reason. She wanted to be healed. Tonight you're here for a reason. You better be here for a reason. You better not just be here to warm this chair. You have some need in your life. When you come here, you bring it before God. You come with faith. Faith is not calling all pockets. Faith is, Lord, I'm here to receive for this. I'm here to receive for this. And you can come as many times as you want. I don't care. And I don't think God does either. But God wants you to have faith in Him for something. If you're here for a financial breakthrough, you're going to come for a financial breakthrough. If you're here for healing, you're going to come for healing. Amen? Amen? It's your birthday, isn't it? Come here. Stretch out your hands towards this. Lord, I thank you for your anointing and I thank you for your power upon this in Jesus' name. Take it, son. In Jesus' name. You will have a wonderful year. We declare and decree that you are blessed and highly favored of God. And that this year is going to be a year unlike any other year that you have experienced. In the spiritual realm, God is going to do something amazing and wonderful in your life. And you are going to radiate the light of God wherever you go. You will be the proverbial salt and the light of this earth. And people that have known you for years are going to look at you and say, wow, what happened to you? God bless you. Amen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. All right.